From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament as he brings the final portion of an overview of the book of Hebrews. The purpose of Hebrews was to help Jewish believers through the transition from Judaism to Christianity. It was vital that the new believers understand the relationship between the temple worship and the gospel, and this is necessary for present-day believers as well, for they must understand that the gospel is the completion and the fulfillment of the Old Testament revelation. The writer of Hebrews set forth four logical steps to demonstrate this. First, the basis of the gospel is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, the person of Christ establishes the value of His work. Third, the value of Christ's work proves Him to be God's final word to men and the sole way of salvation for them. Finally, God's final word in Christ can never be repudiated by true believers. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message entitled, Jesus Christ, God's Full and Final Word. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Burdens Cast on Him. The text is Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. It is a heavy burden. Roll it on omnipotence. It is thy burden now, and it crushes thee. But when the Lord takes it, He will make nothing of it. If thou art called still to bear it, He will sustain thee. It will be on Him and not on thee. Thou wilt be so upheld under it that the burden will be a blessing. Bring the Lord into the matter, and thou wilt stand upright under that which in itself would bow thee down. Our worst fear is lest our trial should drive us from the path of duty. But this the Lord will never suffer. If we are righteous before Him, He will not endure that our affliction should move us from our standing. In Jesus He accepts us as righteous, and in Jesus He will keep us so. What about this present moment? Art thou going forth to this day's trial alone? Are thy poor shoulders again to be galled with the oppressive load? Be not so foolish. Tell the Lord all about thy grief, and leave it with Him. Don't cast your burden down, and then take it up again, but roll it on the Lord, and leave it there. Then shalt thou walk at large, a joyful and unburdened believer, singing the praises of thy great burden-bearer.
Thank you.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
For anybody to mix the shadowy forms of Old Testament ritual with the spiritual reality and finally of the New Testament and its gospel is to deny the sufficiency of Christ. You take the whole fabric of Roman Catholicism. Do you know in almost every detail? It is merely a transplanting of the Old Testament ritual and putting it inside the New Testament church. What is the Roman priesthood but an attempt to revive the Levitical priesthood that offers propitiatory sacrifices to appease the wrath of God and stand between the people and God? The entire system of ritualism, whether it's in Romanism or any place else, is an attempt to join the shadows of the Old Testament with the realities and the final form of the New Testament. And that is, in Paul's words, to fall from grace. It is to deny the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, because he is God's final word and sole way of salvation. That leads me to the final thing, that God's final word in Christ creates a response of faith in all who receive it. Chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Will you notice something? There is something that a true believer in Jesus Christ cannot do. And there is something that a true believer in Jesus Christ always will do. True believers in Jesus Christ can sin. They can fail. We are all living examples, tragically, of that. But a true believer in Jesus Christ cannot repudiate the Savior for any other way of salvation. Paul says, if any man will draw back, if any man will give up Christ, if any man will return to the Old Testament sacrifices and pin his hopes for heaven on those rather than in Christ, my soul will have no pleasure in him. God says, I reject him. Now, empty professors, and there were empty professors among the Jews who were in the church. Empty professors may draw back. But Paul says, we are not of those who draw back. True believers can never give up Jesus Christ for any other way of salvation. If you keep that in mind, that will be the key to explain the meaning of the dire warnings of chapter 6 and chapter 10. Chapter 6 has been a chapter, for instance, that has plagued many consciences and many people, especially if they have failed the Lord. Some of you have had periods of coldness and deadness and disobedience and even maybe a degree of backsliding in your lives. And you've come to chapter 6 and you've read that here are people, and if they fall away, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted of the good word of God, and of the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them unto repentance. I've had more people come and ask me, does that not say that once I have lost out with God, I'm damned, there's no way back? Well, first of all, you ought to know that the word of God doesn't contradict itself. And when the Word of God, as for instance in 1 John chapter 1, explicitly calls back those who have gone astray and calls for confession of sin, then Hebrews 6 doesn't mean what you think it means. The meaning must be seen. It was written to Jews who were being tempted to give up Christ. The sin that Paul is constantly dealing with in the book of Hebrews is not just any sin. It is the sin of repudiating Christ. For example, when he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, he is not merely saying, make sure you're in church on Sunday. Now, that's included in it, obviously. The greater always includes the lesser. And it's sin for God's people willfully and wantonly to absent themselves from the worship of God's house. But that's not strictly what Paul was saying. What Paul was talking about was forsaking the assembly, forsaking the church, forsaking the gospel, forsaking the Christ in order to go back to the synagogue and the temple. That's the sin of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 10, if any man sins willfully, after that he's received the knowledge of the truth. It is this same sin. And Paul is saying, Christians can never give up Christ. Chapter 6 is also saying that their people can come into the church, they can have many benefits, they can be wrought upon physically, emotionally, and even in their conscience and in their spirit. They may appear to be Christians, but if they give up Christ, they are not saved, and they never will be saved. That's what he's saying. Why does he say that? Because, listen, he's saying if you give up Christ, how can you ever get to heaven? Who else can take you to heaven? Can the blood of a bull or a goat get you into heaven? If you've given up the blood of God's Son, if you've said, I will not have Christ, how can you ever get to heaven? It's the meaning of those dire warnings. They're peculiarly for Jewish believers. But you know, there are false professors to be found among Gentiles too. And I would invite you, when you read through this book, to notice the occurrence of the word lest. That's a word of warning. Chapter 2. We read it today. We should take the more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip. Chapter 3, and in verse 12, he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." Chapter 4, and verse 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem come short of it." Chapter 12. Verses 5, 15, and 16, three more references. There's warning. I want you to get this, my friend. It's one thing to be a professor. It's another thing to be a Christian. It's one thing to join the church. It's another thing to be in Christ. It's one thing to have a denominational name tag. It's another thing to have your sins forgiven and be justified freely by the grace of God through faith in Christ's redeeming blood. Professors can and always will give up Christ for something else. But God's people can't do that. What will they do? Chapter 11 tells you what they'll do. God's people, true believers, are not of those who draw back. They are of those who believe to the saving of the soul, and therefore they will live, as God's people have always lived, by faith in the promise of God in Christ. I'm not going to deal with Hebrews 11. I preached for about a year on it here, not too long ago, so I think that it should be fresh enough in most people's memories. But the life of faith is the great lesson that you learn from the eventful records of the Old Testament. Hebrews 11 summarizes most of the Old Testament. And how is it doing it? What is the great lesson? What are you to learn from Abraham and those who went before him and those who came after him? What are you to learn from the lives of these great men? You're to learn that they lived by faith in Jesus Christ. And you know, in essence, that's what we're called to do. What is the Christian life? It is the life of faith. What is the life of faith? Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. It is living out the gospel. I want to leave you with these final verses of Hebrews. I said you should memorize the opening verses. Well, here's a section at the end that you would do well to memorize as well. "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." What is the Christian life? What is it to be made perfect in every good work? Doing God's will, God working in us what's pleasing in his sight. What is it? It is living out the gospel. God brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. He is that great shepherd of the sheep. He shed the blood of the everlasting covenant. It's on that basis that God does anything and everything in the lives of God's people. And so the closing chapters of Hebrews show you what this means. Christ is our leader. Follow him. 12 verse 1. "Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our leader. Let us follow him. chapter 13, verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Christ is our altar. Let us feed off him. What does that mean? Well, here we run into conflict not with the clock but with the calendar. That's the ministry of a lifetime. What does it mean to feed off Christ? It means to get your mind focused on that person, which is the basis of the gospel, on the value of his work, on the final word that God has spoken in him, and the sole way of salvation God has provided in him. It is to meditate on Christ, to think upon Christ, to apply the truth of Christ to your own heart until it forms how you live and how you act. Feed on Christ. He's our leader. Follow him. He's our altar. Feed off him. Then Christ is our Savior. This is vital. Fellowship with him. Chapter 12, verse 13, 12 and chapter 13, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Christ died for us. Let us go forth therefore unto him. He's our leader. Follow him. He's our altar. Feed off him. Be careful what you feed on day by day. He is our Savior. Fellowship with him. How should a Christian live? He should live out the gospel. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God's full and final word to man. All God has to say to you and to me is in Christ. Everything else must be seen in that light. May God take this great epistle to the Hebrews. We have barely skimmed its surface today. May God take this great epistle and the great Christ who is at the heart of this epistle, make them precious to our souls, that we may indeed follow him, feed off him, and live in fellowship with him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.